You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, the last couple of weeks I taught on forgiveness, and it's not an option, it's not a suggestion, it's not a great idea, it's what God told us to do. We should forgive one another, amen? Forgive each other. And forgiving each other and forgiving one another, as it were, opens us up to forgiveness, and not forgiving others, bitterness and unforgiveness, stops us from being forgiven. Are you out there? So, you know, when you think about what Jesus said, when he says, Mark 11, 25 and 26, one instance there, he says, when you stand, pray and forgive, that you might be forgiven. Are you with me? He's not saying you're forgiven on an exchange basis. You have to earn your forgiveness from God. He won't forgive you unless you forgive. It's that if you don't forgive, you won't receive forgiveness. Because that bitterness will stop God from moving on your behalf. And so really what it is, it's sowing and reaping. Everything boils down to sowing and reaping. If we want mercy, we've got to give mercy. If we want love, we've got to give love. If we want forgiveness, we give forgiveness. What comes back to us is what we put out. Because it what we put out makes us into something. If we're continually criticizing and hateful and unforgiving with people, you know what? We become that. We become very critical and hateful and unforgiving people. Just from doing those kinds of things, it changes us. But if we turn around and begin to love and we begin to forgive and we begin to help and reach out to people, all of a sudden, people seem to be a lot nicer to us. We receive what we give because you reap what you sow. It's a universal law. It's all through the Scripture. In fact, Jesus said, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Amen? Kind of like that guy was praying, wanting God to help him, you know, and he didn't know a lot of Scripture. He was real simple, and, you know, and he said, Lord, all I know is if I were you and you were me, I'd sure help you. Are you with me? Wasn't complicated. He just felt like God was able and God loved him and God would help him because he'd do the same thing if he could. So, you know, what is it that you want out of people? What is it that you want out of life? How would you like people to treat you? How would you like people to act toward you? Well, you need to act that way toward others, and you need to treat others that way. And you'll find in life, the more that you do that, the more that you sow, the more you reap. Sow a little, you reap a little. Sow a lot, you reap a lot. You know, if you sow just a small plot of ground, you'll get a small plot of harvest. If you sow a big amount of acreage, you get a whole amount of acreage harvest. It's not complicated. I mean, we try to make it deep and complicated. It's really not. It's real simple. Real simple. You say, well, I just don't feel like people like me. Don't reach out to me. Well, won't you reach out to other people and smile and be kind to others? Well, I feel like everybody's talking about me. Well, quit talking about them talking about you. Maybe they quit talking about you talking about them talking about you. Amen? So, it comes down to Matthew 19. Everybody found it? Let's go into this and see what Jesus has to say about some of these things. With that in mind, I mean, that's just law of sowing and reaping. This thing works toward not just giving money, not just toward planting seeds as a farmer. It has to do with actions and deeds and words and things that you say and things that you do. Everything you say and everything that you do is a seed planted. The question is, do you want a harvest of that thing you just said? Do you want a harvest of that thing you just did? Do you want that done to you? Do you want that said to you? If not, don't plant it. I mean, if you walk by a farmer's field and you see corn out there, you know, the obvious thing is he must have planted corn seed. Right? And if you were to ask him, why did you plant corn seed? He would probably say, because I wanted corn. Y'all need to write some of this down. This is getting deep here now, isn't it? Why didn't you plant yellow squash seeds? He'd probably say, because I didn't want yellow squash. Right? And you might say, well, I know, okay, you planted corn, but why did you not plant watermelon seeds? And he'd say, because I didn't want watermelons. Okay, let me go over this one more time then. So you say you planted corn, he's going to say, yeah. And why did you plant corn? Because I wanted corn. Are y'all getting this? Okay. So in life, it's that way. I mean, you know, we need to examine what we're doing, what we're saying, because we are planting seeds that's going to reap a harvest. Hallelujah. Well, why even waste your time being so kind to everybody? Well, honestly, it's the right thing to do, and I'd kind of like people be kind to me. Oh, that's just a waste of time. You're just wasting your time. They don't care. Oh, no, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if I'm kind to others, they'll be kind to me. The Bible says if I'm merciful, they'll be merciful to me. If I forgive, I'll be forgiven. I'm not just obeying God. I'm looking out for my own best interest here. Not to be self-centered and selfish, but all God's commands boil down to your best interest. We should do it because God says it, period. But we need to understand that if we obey God, we're actually doing it for us because he's trying to bless us. He's trying to help us. He's trying to make us better people in his commands. In his, he's not just egotistically, as a dictator, as a tyrant, up there giving out commands and ordering us around and moving us around on a chessboard like a bunch of pawns. No, he is trying to bless us. He is trying to help us is what he's trying to do. And he knows that if we go down that road of sin, if we go down that road of hate, if we go down that road of unforgiveness, that that's going to hurt us. That's not just going to hurt everybody else. That's going to hurt us. And God cares about us. He loves us. And that's why he says, thou shalt and thou shalt not. That's the whole point of it. Amen? Matthew 19. Notice in the 17th verse. Matthew 19, verse 17. It says, he said unto them, why callest thou me good? Because they called him good master, you know. He said, there's none good but one, that is God. But if thou would enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, I think this is fascinating because when Jesus talked about the commandments, he would generally center in on the ones that had to do with the way you treated others. That's something you'll find predominantly if you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you just take out the times that Jesus talked about the commandments. It was a given you're supposed to love God. It was a given you're supposed to, you know, not worship idols. It was a given you're not supposed to... you know, you're supposed to honor the Lord and so on and so forth. But when Jesus would talk about the commandments, he would talk about the things that we should do toward each other. I always thought that was fascinating. I mean, that if you think about it, I mean, they asked him what the two greatest commandments was. He said the first was to love God with all your heart. Second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. But he would generally talk about what we should do toward each other. You know, the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments had to do with God. The last six had to do with each other. The way we treat each other, the way we honor our parents and our neighbors, and not lying, not stealing, not killing. Are you with me? Matthew 19, 17, 18, excuse me, he said, and he saith unto them, which ones? And Jesus said, well, thou shalt not, shall do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. I shall not bear false witness or lie. Honor your father and mother. And love your neighbor as yourself. I love that. I think that's awesome. Because we think about, you know, we're Christians, we're believers, we love God. Well, okay, we love God. We should love God. We're supposed to love God. But how does the world know we love God? The world sees us loving God by loving them. See, sometimes churches become just really clubs where people just get together and they talk about loving God, but they don't really love each other, and they don't really do any different when they leave the building. And as far as the world's concerned, they don't see a whole lot of difference between us and them, other than abstractly, I mean, we have a doctrine that we love God, and they don't. Are you with me? But shouldn't that permeate, shouldn't that make a difference? Shouldn't we live different, act different than the world? Yeah, according to Jesus, that it should come down to the way we treat other people. In fact, that's how we know we really love God, is when we treat others different than we did before we turned our life over to God. I know when you become a Christian, you become a new creature in Christ, the Bible says. Old things are passed away, all things become new. Amen. Can you say hallelujah, somebody? Amen. Woohoo, preacher. Preach on, preach on. Glory to God. We're new creatures. Well, what that changes the inside of us. It changes the way we look at the world. It changes the way we treat each other. I know I don't treat people the way I did before I got saved. Are you with me? I don't look at people the same way I did before I got saved. I'm not perfect. I'm growing. We're all growing. None of us are perfect. But a proof of my love for God is the changes I've made in the way I look at others and the way I treat others. And I got a long ways to go. We all do. We all have things we can work on. But there should be a shift in the way we treat our wives and our husbands and our children and our brothers and sisters and our neighbors and the people we work with. From being lost and being saved, there should be a shift. There should be a change in our actions and to what we do. Are you out there? Man, it's quiet in here. Oh, goodness. This is getting on some toes. We probably need that. I've been rough on y'all the last 2 weeks, and here I am going again. Forgiveness. Boy, that's a tough one, you know, get on forgiveness. We needed it, though. We need to hear it. So he's saying here, we need to treat each other differently. Really, that's what those commandments are about. That's the last six commandments. That's what they deal with, the way we treat each other. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. I won't love God. I don't love my neighbor. I love God. Are you out there? No, Jesus said love your neighbor. You know, it's actually, the Bible says if you, John says this in 1 John, he says if you don't love your brother who you do see, how can you love God whom you don't see? Wow, that's pretty strong, isn't it? So I think it's going to change the way we live if we really are in love with Jesus and love God. It's going to equate or turn out into us loving each other and reaching out to others and living for others. A church should be a place that helps people. It should be a place that loves people, that accepts people. Doesn't mean we accept sin, we're against sin, but we love sinners. We love people that are lost to come in. We don't care where they've been or what they've done. You know, we talk about this often. We're against homosexuality, we're against abortion, we're against lying, we're against adultery, we're against those things, but we're not against those people. Are you kidding me? I mean, there's people in here that committed some of those sins. We're about restoration and forgiveness. We're going to tell you it's wrong to do that, that it's going to hurt you and hurt your family and those around you. And I don't have to tell you that. If you've ever done those things, you know what a damaging thing that is to people's lives, and that's ruined society that we live in. But see, God doesn't hate people. And the church of all places shouldn't hate people. And this is a place where people who have sin can come and get right and get, you know, get restored and get back on their feet. And your past is over. Every sinner has a future. Hallelujah. Every saint has a past. Are you out there? But we're about helping people and about loving people. We're not about the building and the lights and a carpet and camera action, you know. We got to have buildings, got to have carpet, and got to have, you know, cameras. And if you're going to get, you know, televised things, you got to have cameras. But that's not what we're about, people. Are you out there? Hallelujah. We need to, as Christians, love our neighbor. I like this. As ourselves. Wow. You know, if I love me, I'm going to love you. If I care at all about my future, I'm going to love you. If I really want corn, I'm going to go plant some seeds. Isn't that right? If I want a crop of sweet corn, I mean, lay the butter on that. I better quit because it's getting close to lunch. But if I really want the pleasure, the benefit, the harvest, the joy of a harvest, you know, then I'm going to have to plant some seeds to get that. If you want life to be different the way it is for you, if you're not satisfied the way things are in your life, if you're not, don't have joy, as it were, and you don't seem to have a lot of friends, don't seem to have a lot of people that care about you and call and check on you. Well, call and check and care about others. Amen? Plant some of those seeds and see what a harvest comes back. I have never helped anybody where it didn't help me more. I never reached out to anybody that it didn't help me. You know, I think about the food ministry. I tell you, some of the blessed, most blessed people in the food ministry are the people who go out there and volunteer in the food ministry. No question about it. They walk away having done some good. They walk away with some joy, a spring in their step, help some people, hallelujah. Life's got purpose. We got a reason to get up in the morning, especially Tuesday mornings early. Got some people to help, got some people to feed, got some people that are in need. People need prayer, people need food, people need a hug, they need a good word, they need encouragement, they need a smile, Are you with me? And when you go volunteer out there, you walk away and go, wow, man, that was worth it. That was worth it. That's worth getting up in the morning. Hallelujah. My life's got meaning. My life's got purpose. See, I mean, when you do things for others, and I've been on mission trips, and it's the same thing. I don't care how great the mission trip is. The better the mission trip is, the better I'm blessed. The more I'm blessed by it, the more people I get to touch and minister to and preach to and help, the more excited I get about it. I mean, come on, I get a bigger blessing out of ministering and giving than the people that are receiving. And life's just that way. What you sow is what you reap. So when Jesus is talking about, you know, entering into life, I think that's interesting the way he said that in the 17th verse. He says, if you will enter into life, if you will enter into life, not just heaven, not just salvation. I mean, we're saved by what Jesus did. We're not saved by what we do for others. We're saved because Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And that's the only way we're ever going to be saved or ever go to heaven. None of us are ever going to be good enough or help enough people to earn heaven. Jesus paid the price for heaven. Amen. But I think it's interesting that when he says this, I don't think we often look at it this way. If we will enter into life, really enter into life, start living instead of just existing, if you want to get out from under the cloud and get into the sunshine, if you want to enter into life, start living your life to help people. Get involved with something, someone, help reach out, touch, call, make a phone call. Make that pie or banana pudding. That's what I like. I just thought I'd throw that out there. But send that card. Send that letter. Are you with me? Make that visit, whatever the case may be. You know. Then start. You're going to enter into life when you enter into the lives of others. You touch the lives of others. That's what all those commandments he listed had to do with, is the way we relate to each other. Not defrauding each other, not lying to each other, not committing adultery, not stealing, not murdering, all those kinds of things. But loving each other and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Mm-mm. Praise God. That's awesome that Jesus centers in on that. All things, all the commandments he could talk about, those are always the ones he talked about. The ones involved with each other. You know, the first four I mentioned have to do with you and God. They're vertical. You know, you don't have any other gods before you. Don't make idols. Don't use the name of the Lord in vain. Remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. It has to do with you and God. But the last six of the Ten Commandments have to do with horizontal, laterally, the way we treat each other, the way we look at each other, talk about each other, help each other, and reach out to each other, or sin against each other. They were commandments not to sin against each other. Let's don't sin against each other. Amen? Let's live, not just exist. Praise God. You know, I mentioned 1 John 4:20. If you're writing notes, you might want to put that down. 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God who he hath not seen? You know, I don't know about you, but I've never seen God. Anybody have seen God face to face, looked him? And I mean, there are people that have had a vision of God and seen God, and I think that's awesome. I hadn't. I will. You will. We all will. But I hadn't seen him. But I have seen you. Amen. I've seen you. I've seen a lot of people. And that's what God is looking at me to do, is to help other people. Help the ones I do see. There's a lot I don't know, but I shouldn't let what I don't know keep me from doing what I do know. You know, we can go through life and say, well, I don't know about this and I don't know about that. And there's a lot of things I don't know and I don't understand this and I don't understand that. Well, there's a lot of things I don't understand, but I do know this. I'm supposed to love people. Amen. That's not complicated. I'm supposed to reach out to people and help people. That's not complicated. I'm supposed to forgive people. That's not complicated. I can't walk through life with hate in my heart. I cannot do that. I can't walk through life with anger and bitterness inside of me towards someone. I've got to let that go. And I got to, when occasion arises and when I am able, I've got to reach out and take of what God has blessed me with and any talents and gifts and money, whatever, and help other people. Are you with me? Responsible, take care of my own, sure, yes, but I should also reach out to help other people. If I'm going to enter into life, hallelujah, if life's going to be a joy instead of a pain and a struggle, get out of that closet. Get out of that, you know, that self-made closet. Sometimes we close ourselves in, you know. Get out of that brown funk. You ever heard that? That's an old saying. That brown study you fall into. See, it's a leap. Laughter's a leap. I love that. To break out of that. To laugh, to rejoice, to help, to bless, to call, to reach out. Come on, kick the door open, get out in the sunshine. Open up the windows and the curtains. You know, we self-make sometimes our own prisons. And we stay in the wilderness of our own pain because we will not cross the Jordan. We will not come over into the promised land. And all this time, God's telling us, come on out of there. Come on out of there. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to be that way. You don't have to be, life doesn't have to be a pain and a drudgery and a battle all the time. Help somebody. Lose yourself in others. Woo! Sure is getting quiet in here. You out there? Okay. You know, sometimes, you know, we just get off. We want to get off by ourselves. And I think it's a, you know, that's just a demonic ploy, you know. We want to get away from the crowd. We want to get away from everybody. We want to get off by ourselves. Well, what are you going to do when you get off over there? Read a book? What happens when you finish that one? You going to read another one? I mean, the world's dying out here. It needs you. Oh, yeah. See, that was an old thing. If you study church history, you know, the monks, when they went off and the Catholics took the monks. And from their standpoint, it was a point of piety. And I understand that. They were getting off to just worship God. And some of the old mystic saints, you know, they talked about would go off into the monasteries and the monks and nuns and the monks and so on and so forth. I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about years ago, the way they did that. And really what it boiled down to, they didn't help anybody. They became spiritual in and of themselves, but they didn't help anybody. In fact, the only purpose they began to find is they got off in those monasteries and those cloisters. You know, they would get together and there was nobody. They were away from every city. They were way as far as out they could be. The only purpose they found was in helping each other within the... So they never really got away from that whole point of they had to help each other. And we talk about, oh, it would be great to go off, spend my whole life on a mountain somewhere just worshiping God. Well, it sounds pretty good, but the problem is God wants you to help people. And you're always going to have this hunger and desire for fellowship with someone. Amen? And to reach out to someone, because that's when you find your purpose. Even in all those monasteries and all the monks and so on and so forth, they found their purpose ultimately in each other. And they had to go way off to do that, and they didn't have to do that. Bless their hearts. I mean, they had a passion for God, and I'm not diminishing some of those great saints. I mean, my goodness, some of the great literature we have came out of that time period, and some of those, I've read a lot of the writings of some of those great saints, St. John of the Cross and Teresa of Avila, and they, you know, some tremendous writings and so on, but Avila or Avila, I don't know how to pronounce that. Interior Castle, she wrote a book on that, on prayer. But really, if you examine what they talked about, it came down to the way they treated each other. And Jesus is saying the same thing. Amen? Thank God for church. Man, thank God for International Outreach Church. I shudder to think trying to serve God all by myself. Hello. And trying to keep it private too, you know, just between me and God. Are you kidding me? I need to open up. I need people to pray with me and believe with me. I need people to, you know, stand with me. I need people to bounce things off of. You know, we heard some comments today about our class on Revelation and how people really enjoyed how good it was. And I really believe that it's so good because we have so many people in there coming, asking questions, and we're all learning. We're all growing together because we learn in groups. We learn in a community. God called us to a community. There's a sense of purpose in community. People that go to church, did you know this is a fact? That people that go to church regularly have church family, regular church family. Excuse me. I got to find my microphone. It's over here. People that go to church regularly tend to live longer, this is a fact, than people that just live by themselves and don't have any friends. Because their immune system goes down. Everything breaks down when you're just isolated and you're by yourself and you don't have a sense of community. Sense of purpose. God wants us to serve God together. Amen. Turn to James 2nd chapter. Hallelujah. Can I get some water? All my regular ushers are... Yes, that'll work. I guess that's what I'm supposed to say. Ricola. Is that... That's what this is. Okay. I just wasted that one on everybody. But... Thank you, Betty. Yes, listen. What, James 2? Is that where I told you to turn to? Is this helping you? I'd never know it by looking at you, but that's okay. You can smile or amen anytime, you know. Just James 2nd chapter. We all have to listen to this recolder now going around in my mouth. Notice what it says in the 8th verse. If you fulfill the royal law, everybody say royal law. Oh, wow, what's that? What's the royal law? The royal law, according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. I like that. This is the royal law. Royal law was the law of the king. The king put out a decree. Royal law. This is the law of the kingdom. Are you with me? This is the royal law. This is the king's law. Well, what is our kingdom's law? What is our royal king's law? It is to love our neighbor as ourselves. Wow. That's pretty strong, isn't it? The royal law of love is what it is. If you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Now, James, no doubt about it, James is pretty tough. If you read James as compared to some of the other New Testament books, he's tough. But he's right about this. Because if we do have a respect of persons, in other words, if we esteem certain people more than other people, if we esteem certain classes of people more than other people, if we esteem rich people more than poor people, if we esteem CEOs of companies more than, say, employees of companies, if we esteem those that have money more than those that don't have money, if we esteem white people more than black people, or if we esteem Hispanic people more than Asian people, or older people more than young people, or just young people more than older people. Are you out there? You know, I know churches, and God bless them. I mean, they're good people. They love God. Don't get me wrong when I say these things. But I know churches, and I talk to those ministers, and they'll say things like, well, we are purposely targeting a group. We're targeting 20 to 40-year-olds. And I'm thinking, where is that in the Bible? Or we're purposely targeting a type of person. Are you with me? You know, and hey, sometimes this is done with the best of intentions, and from people that love God. So when I say something critical like this, I'm not talking about people in general. I'm just talking about the idea of what we're talking about, because these are good people. All these good, they love God and think it sounds pretty good, and they're doing it. They're not evil people. They're not cruel people. They love God and they want to do what's right. But, you know, we've got designer-friendly churches where we got, you know, the church, this church just, you know, we're just a church of blonde-haired people. We're a blonde-haired church. Hello. We're a black-haired church. Or we're Afro church. And, you know, we do. We have black churches. We have white churches. You know, it's just not supposed to be that way. It is, and hey, we love those people, and we're doing the best we can to change that. But, you know, we look around here, this church mostly white. I mean, hello. Not supposed to be that way. Hello. This is not supposed to be a church where old people come. It's not supposed to be a church where just young people come. It's not a church where just cowboys come, you know, or bikers. Bikers come, or people that drink Starbucks. I love bikers and cowboys and Starbucks. I mean, I'm for all those things. Are you with me? And hey, you know what? There are cowboy churches, so don't run out of here and say I'm criticizing them. I mean, I think those are good ministries to reach out to people. But the church is just the church. The church is about everybody. The church is no respecter of persons. You shouldn't let someone come in here and just think more highly of them because they're dressed nicer than somebody else, because they have more money than somebody else. But you know what? You shouldn't think less of them because they have more money than somebody else. You shouldn't think less of them because they own a company and they're dressed real nice. Because you can get just as bad on the other side of that as you can the side of, well, you know, we don't cater to rich people. And even the way you said that, you don't like rich people, I can tell already. You've gone from one extreme to the other. Now you hate rich people and you just care to the poor people. No, we got to cater to everybody. Okay. Oh, hallelujah, good preaching. Man, it's good stuff. Preach it. Preach it. Don't run out here and criticize other churches when I say these things either, okay? Because that's not, we're not about that. We're for churches. Thank God for cowboy churches. Thank God for biker. I know biker churches. I know cowboy churches. I know a lot of them. They're ministering, reaching out to those people. But the church really should be bigger than just that. It should include that. Amen? But it should be bigger than that too. So he says this, if you have respect to persons, you commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Wow. We don't always like to hear this, do we? Have you ever done that? Have you ever kind of looked down on somebody? Maybe because of the way they look, their dress, or you ever done that? Now, I've never done that. I know, you know, I'm just asking you if you ever done that. 14th verse. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, have not works? Can faith save him, or can that faith save him? That's not the kind of faith we're talking about. I'm not saved by works, but the kind of faith we're talking about that changed me, that washed me clean, that took my sins away, that took me from darkness to light, made me a new creature, that kind of faith, the kind of faith that got a hold of me, changed me. I'm not perfect since then. I made a lot of mistakes and sin and had to repent, but I look at things differently. I act toward people differently. The kind of faith that got a hold of me affected the way I treat people. When I listen to it, when I obey it, when I'm honest. And if you're honest about Christianity, you have to say it changes the way you act toward people. It doesn't allow you. Christianity will not allow you to hate someone. You can hate them, but Christianity won't allow you to hate them. Are you with me? What happened to you when you got saved does not condone your anger. You may be angry, but you know you're wrong. Y'all get that? Because Christianity is not about hating people. I call that redneck Christianity. I think there's nothing wrong being redneck in a lot of ways, but I think Christianity is not redneck, okay? Well, just hang in here for 15 more minutes. I'll beat on you for about 15 minutes, and then we'll let you go, and you all go out all bruised and get healed up this week and come back. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute, daily food, 15 verse, 16 verse, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warm, be filled, notwithstanding you do not give them the things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? This is not a religion of words, a religion of ideals and concepts. This is a very practical truth. Christianity changes lives. It reaches out to people. It helps people, kind of like our food bank. Are you with me? We don't just pray for them, we give them food. Amen? And we help them, and we bless them, and we try to make our life better. We try to give them something to eat because they need something to eat. They've fallen on rough times. A lot of people have fallen on hard times. And so that's the idea behind that. And as a brother and a sister in Christ, when you're reaching out to someone, you ought to see what you can do to help them. Well, we'd be praying. Well, praying's good, and I believe in prayer, and prayer's a powerful thing. But if we're able to help them in any way, we ought to do that too. Amen? If one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warm, be filled, notwithstanding you do not give them things that are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. In other words, this kind of faith that we have is a moving, active faith. And it's moving and active toward each other. It moves in a way and acts in a way that changes our behavior. It changes the way we treat each other. You know, James goes on to say fifth chapter, the 16th verse says, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. I love that because we should be conscious of each other and we should be praying for one another. And someone else in need is a call for us to step up and pray. Right. Amen? Woo! Good stuff. Yeah, a man may say, 18th verse, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. I love what Eddie was sharing earlier. Eddie's gone. Well, I ran Eddie right out. Didn't even know that he left. But anyway, what he was sharing earlier about getting to share about our church with other churches and the thing that blew him away was all the stuff we're doing, as if that should be unusual. Hello. And it shouldn't be. Shouldn't be unusual. All churches should do that. I mean, every church should do that. And everybody in church knows that they should do that, and they want to do that. It just, they just got going down the wrong path about what church is about, and they love God, and they're together worshiping the Lord, but they just got down the wrong path about what church is about. Church is about people. Always has been, always will be. It's about reaching out to a community. It's about changing a community. It's about changing the culture of a city. It's about the way we treat each other. After we've been born again, after we've accepted Jesus, we're born again, we love God, we're Christians, we should live it out by the way we treat each other. Amen? So that's what James is talking about. The 18th verse says, "Yea, man may say thou hast faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe there's one God. Well, the devils also believe and they tremble." Just believing there is a God, it's more than that. Amen? God wants to get a hold of your life. See, we don't add Jesus to our lifestyle. We take Jesus and he changes our lifestyle. In fact, one of the greatest scriptures we quote about salvation, Romans 10:9, says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I think it's significant. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, not that he's Messiah, not that he died for our sins, which he did, not that he paid the price for our sins, which he did, not that he came and died and rose again, which he did, and we do confess God raised him from the dead in that same scripture, but it says, confess him as Lord. Wow, think about it. That means I'm going to start listening to him and doing what he says now instead of what I've been doing. I'm going to start following what he says to do instead of following my own desire. I'm going to start doing what he says is right instead of what I think is right. Jesus is my Lord. I am his servant, I submit to him. Amen? And what he wants us to do is treat each other right. Amen? Love each other. Reach out to each other. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. Okay, one verse, I'll close this out. Galatians, the 5th chapter, turn there. You know, we need to do unto others as if you were the others. That's a good way to look at it. That's what Jesus said, do unto others as you had them do to you. Well, just do unto others as if you were the others. If that were you, would you help you? I think you probably would. You know, we say it often in prayer, you know, when we're praying for people. You know, sometimes we just kind of go through the motions and say the words. We know the scriptures. We know what to say. We know what to pray. But, you know, we need to stop and think. Now, when we're praying, and maybe this is a prayer request card or someone's up here, you know, and this is their daughter, and this is their son, and this is their father, their mother, this is their husband, their wife, or whatever. What if this were your wife, your husband? What if this were your daughter, your son? What if this were your brother, your sister? See, all of a sudden now the intensity goes to another level, doesn't it? Now we're not just going through the motions and saying the words and praying the prayers because we know what to say. No, we're praying, oh God. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, help that person. I mean, if that were you, you would want that intensity. You would want that passion. And so that's the way we should approach helping people. What if it were us? What if it were my child? What if it were my parent? Or, you know, along those lines. Galatians 5:14 says this, For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Man, how powerful is that? You know, Jesus said, all the law hangs on these two commandments. Love the Lord God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And I heard Kenneth Copeland say this years ago. He had a dream. And in that dream, he had all these pieces of cloth. I'm going to paraphrase greatly because I can't remember every detail. But he had all these pieces of cloth like curtains. That's what they were like. And it was all kinds of things. It was faith and, you know, it was just all kinds of, you know, goodness and mercy and all these things. And he was trying to hang them on a wall and he'd take them up and good works, you know, and try to hang them up there and they just fall off and fall off. And finally God came into the dream and gave him this rod and the rod was called love. And when you put the rod up, all the curtains hung up there. They didn't fall off the wall. And what God was telling us, all the things that we do, if we don't have love, they just fall off. Isn't that true? If we don't really have love, love's what holds everything together. Love is the royal law. The royal law of love. Love is what everything hangs on. And so if you want to see through the Bible, all that God is saying to us, He's telling us to love each other. That's really what He's trying to say. And that's what caused us to do everything we do, is love. I hope people, and I know we make that point clear at the food bank, you know, that's why we do what we do, because we're Christians, we're believers, and God compels us to help people. We do it because we are Christian. We do it because we love people. That's we're not commanded to do it by the state of Texas. Are you with me? We don't have to put on Hallelujah Night. There's no law in the city that says we have to do it, although they'd probably burn our church down if we didn't do it one year. No, we're going to keep doing it. Stay with me. But it's love that compels us to reach out to those children on Hallelujah Night. It's love that compels us to do the food ministry. It's love that compels us to come down here Sunday morning, Wednesday night, week in, week out, month in, month out. Sometimes I feel good, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I feel like a nut, sometimes I don't. But I love you, and my love for God compels me, constrains me, moves me, drives me to continue to do the right thing. Love, that's what everything hangs on. Paul said, if I give my body to be burned, don't have love, it's sound brass, stinking simple. He says, if I sell everything, give all my money to the poor and don't have love, profits nothing. Love is the compelling force, amen? And that's something we've got to work on and develop, amen? Everything hangs on it, and treat each other nicer. Quit being so mean to each other. I guess that's my message. You're not mean to each other, just. But work on the way you treat others. It'll help your life. Your life will be so much fuller, so much better if you do that. And sometimes you got to change the way you live and the way you think. I mean, it's just, we get in the habit of not calling people, reaching out to people, interacting with people. Get out of that habit. Come on, get out of that box. Reach out and let God mold you, make you, mature you, and enter into life. Live for others. Hallelujah.